is Erin.
And this is Jessica.
And this is episode 33 of the Double Knit Podcast.
Yay!
Do you want to share your sad news first?
Well,
I'll just get it out of the way.
I was going to weave it into a whole story, but okay, yeah. At Madrona, Fibros Retreat was last weekend, and I guess between the loading in for the booth and a class where I did carding all day with hand cards and knitting on Girasole and all these other things, I have developed tendonitis in my thumb, or de Quervain's disease, which sounds a lot fancier. I have yet to see a hand specialist. I just saw someone at General Internal Medicine. So on Friday, I see a hand specialist. But so right now, I'm in a splint, and I can't knit. And I'm very, very sad about that.
Can't really do anything.
I can't really do anything. I know. I was like, so it's my left thumb. So I've discovered you need two thumbs for, yeah, see, Audrey's checking out my splint. You need two thumbs for a lot of things, like putting your socks on or tying your shoelaces or taking off your bra. Like all of those things, very hard to do with just one hand. So, or actually, no, putting on your bra. That was the thing. It's like, you can take it off with one hand, but you can't put it back on with one hand. anyway, so I've been pretty sad and depressed and sitting around. So I've been filling in, trying to fill in with other crafty things. So, like, the first night I did some long draw spinning, because I can do that with one hand. But then, now I don't have any more fiber that's, that I can spin long draw. And then I've been doing some needlepoint and some embroidery, which, you know, keeps me from going crazy, but it's not that satisfying. But it's even gotten to the point now where looking on Ravelry is just depressing. Like, ooh, I should knit. No, I can't knit. So I'm just, yeah, and I'm worried that I'm going to start, like, straining my right hand because I'm, you know, doing everything.
Yeah.
Like, driving the car with one hand is pretty rough on the one hand, so, yeah, so that's my sad story.
That is sad.
Woo-hoo.
Feel for you.
Yeah. So,
But didn't you finish stuff?
I did. I finished a whole bunch of stuff. So since the last, last time we met, I was worried that I was going to run out of yarn for Haruni, and I was right. I ran out on the cast off row, which was so annoying that I just got all overconfident and was like, I'm going to just dye some yarn to match and finish it. And
it looks good though.
It turned out all right. I had the yarn I was using for Haruni was a bamboo blend. No. Yes. And I had some undyed Merino Tencel in my, hello. I can only hold you with one hand. With Merino Tencel. So that was a pretty similar, you know, appearance to the yarn. And so I tried dyeing, and I dyed a little bit that I thought came out pretty, you know, it was a pretty good match. And then I knit with it, and then I ran out again, and then I had to dye more, and by which point I was like, I don't even care if it matches, I just finished it, and so, but I think if you look at it in sunlight, you can see the difference, but, you know, if I'm wearing it and walking down the street, no one is going to notice that the cast-off edge is...
Oh my god, look at her cast-off. Yeah. It's horrible!
So that was Haruni, and then I knit Bertha Lace Shawl by Evelyn Clark, which is an Icelandic-style lace shawl. Oh, we need that computer mouse. And that I knit in some, this sort of mystery wool I got at Stash Swap in November that is sort of like county yarn or a villa yarn, and that it shades from like one shade of blue to another, so from light to dark and back, and it works really well with a pattern because the Icelandic shawls are often knit in stripes of colors. So I sort of got that striping effect without, yeah, buttons! Without having to change yarns, which was nice. And I have a ton left over, so I'm going to give it to someone at Pearly Girls who wanted to knit an Evelyn shawl, too, because I think I started with 180-something. Yeah. Anyway, so I've got enough for a whole other shawl there. And then I started knitting Girasole by Jared Flood, which is a knit-along for the Knitters Guild, but also qualifies for my 10 in 2010 for shawls, even though I'm doing it as a blanket.
It's a circular shawl or blanket.
It's a pie shawl.
Yeah.
Base. I mean, it really, I have this quibble with Jared Flood Designs in that I feel like it would have been nice in the text of the pattern if he said, this is based on Elizabeth Simonon's pie shawl. I know a lot of people have done a lot of things based on her pie shawl, but I just think that nod is, would be nice, but it is just a pie. It's a pie shawl, and I'm doing it in some Rowan Spun Aran I've had in my stash for a million years. I wanted to originally knit the cabled riding jacket from Loop de Loop by Teva mm-hmm. Durham. And then I haven't. So after all these years, and I keep feeling like that yarn is already committed to that. And I finally just had to tell myself, like, you know what? If I decide to knit that, I can buy more yarn. But I don't know. I got really, like, locked in with this, like, no, this yarn is for this project. So yeah. It's working out great for the blanket. It's soft. It's tweedy. It's just it's sort of a denim-y blue.
She's like, I'm done with you.
Yeah, done with me. I'm boring. It's kind of a denim-y blue, and it's working out really well. It was getting really heavy. This is the thing that's killing me. I think I'm 9 rounds and the bind off from away from being done.
Finishing.
So I was so close. I was just like screaming through it. So much so that I didn't start my Olympic knitting on time because I was like, I just got to finish this first. I like couldn't.
Uh-huh.
The idea of having to put it down so close to being done was driving me nuts. And then this happened and now I've been down for like weeks and weeks. So it might be a really long time till I knit again, but I'm just waiting until I see the hand specials. I'm feeling much better, but I know I'm still not not well. So, and I don't want to rush it. I want to make sure I really let everything heal up before I start doing anything again, because I don't want to be back in this situation again. So that's everything for me. How about you? I see a very long list.
Well, I finally picked Duck Soup back up and just finished it. I think that was the longest I've had something on my needles probably.
But you were only working November. On it when you'd go to charity knitting, right?
Yeah, so I finished that, and it's super cute.
Yeah.
And it is crazy bright, but I like the closures were a pain to get on.
They're little, like, frogs.
Yeah, you knit a 4-stitch I-cord, and you knit one that's, like, 4 inches. I think mine were, like, 4.5. Another one you knit, like, 5 inches, but I made mine 6 because this 5-inch one didn't look good. So you sew one down for the closure, like the loop part, and then the other one you tie in this little knot, and then you feed one leg through the knot to make a cute little round thing, and then you hand sew it down. So it was like a lot of hand sewing for, you know.
And you did it in a couple shades of green on there.
A bright, really bright cute. Green and like a spring green.
Yeah, it was really cute with that crazy blue.
Yeah, I think it totally works. So.
Yeah, it's adorable.
Thanks. So that'll go to some lucky kid who loves bright colors.
Yes, and it'll be nice and warm in it.
Yeah. I knit the Mad Color Weave socks. That's a free pattern on Ravelry. Free, yeah. And I have
this. And speaking of crazy colors.
I know.
They're like crazy
they glow
bright.
On their own.
They really do.
It's yarn I bought from Etsy from Le Vieux Rouet, which is the old spinning wheel. It's a superwash. Variegated and like this screamy,
glowing bright blue,
yeah,
like teal and
some purple in there,
turquoise, and just bright, 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 bright.
Yeah, but it was a fun. I'd never done a stitch pattern like that where you wrap the yarn around twice and then you slip that stitch for 2 rows and then you use it to cable,
huh? Okay,
so it makes this weird, like long loop, and it breaks up the variegation. So,
what's the matter, bud?
She's just being spazzy this morning.
You're sad? Okay.
I finished the socks for Audrey, the infant fancy silk sock, which she's actually outgrown. So she wore them twice, and they were a struggle to get on her feet.
You were worried about that the whole time.
Yeah, I should have knit them on larger needles.
If you made the foot longer, would they fit her?
They're just too tight around. She has rectangle block feet.
Yeah. So you can pass them along to the next person with.
Yeah. And I knit a February baby sweater for Audrey out of Classy. And that's my first one. I've never knit that before.
It's such a fun pattern.
Yeah. She loves it.
It takes like just a couple days to knit. And
I think I did it in 3 days.
Yeah. It's real. I did one a couple years ago in hand spun. And it just took. I was surprised how fast it went.
Yeah, so I used a stitch count, and I just went, used a size 7 for the yoke, because garter stretches, and then I used an 8 for the pattern, for the body, and ended up buying a second skein just to add a little bit of length, because she's so tall, so, but it's super cute, and she wore it to Madrona when I took her down,
everyone was like,
oh, I love her sweater.
And I got to introduce Audrey to some podcast listeners, like Vanessa, hey, Michelle, got to meet Audrey, and I was actually waving at the computer. I just realized I did that. Okay. All right. Anyway, so that was fun to see you there.
She was definitely the lady at the Habu booth.
That's Jean DeCoster.
Yeah.
That wasn't, because Jean DeCoster, her company is Elemental Effects. She does that Shetland wool that's raised in the U.S. and then she overdyes it, like the grays, like really beautiful colors. She uses Judith Mackenzie McCune's dyes. But so she's good friends with Takako from Habu, and Takako, I guess, got like double booked that weekend. So she had to be at another event. So Jean came and worked the Habu booth for Takako, which was nice.
And Audrey shared her blueberries with her, and she shared her calculator with Audrey. So it was very nice.
That's very
nice. Had a good chat. Audrey was very happy while I looked at yarn.
So. Cool.
And I'm working on Print of the Wave, also known as Dam Stole. Dam Stole.
So, my bad yarn yardage juju is rubbed off on you, so sorry about that. So you ran out of yarn where?
15 edging repeats from the end. It's like 50 to 100 yards. No, people in Seattle carry the yarn, but not that color. So, I special ordered it. I still haven't gotten it.
Oh.
And they're in Eastern Washington, so I don't know what the problem is with that.
Because that's been like 2 weeks.
It's been almost 3 weeks.
Have you called them?
I emailed them and haven't got a response. So I'm going to cancel my order with them. Thanks a lot. and just look for it at Stitches. Because I'm sure somebody out of the billions of booths there will probably have it.
And no one had it on Ravelry?
Not for D-Stash or sale or anything. So
bummer.
Because I would have just done that. Yeah. So. You can't have a keyboard.
No.
So that's a bummer, and I'm kind of mad at it, but I'll finish it, because I think it's going to be beautiful. It's just...
Well, also, you're like, close. 900 yards in already, so you might as well go the rest of the way.
Well, that's the other thing, and I've talked about this before, knitting, is the pattern page on Ravelry says 800 yards. And that's for the cobweb version that's on the zeros or whatever, not for the lace weight version that's on the size 4s. So they have, like, the yardage for the cobweb version, but the needles for the lace weight version.
Have you left a note page. For the editor to change all that? Okay.
Or to at least put a range.
Yeah,
800 to 900.
Right.
Because the link to the errata page says it takes more like 900.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found the, I didn't see that.
Once you ran out of yarn.
Well, I found it because there's an error in the edging chart. So I found it for that, but I didn't like see the part where it said, "Oh, the lace weight version takes
more like."
Do you
want to
sit
with me?
Mom's
coming
over.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You sit with me.
So that's annoying.
That is annoying.
But the other two things I'm working on are for Ravelympics. So my vest, which is right there, I should. It's the Inca Alpaca Long V-neck vest, by Kristen Tendike. It's from the Snow Day booklet from Classic Elite.
And you're knitting it in pure alpaca from Cascade.
Yes. It's pretty.
Yeah. Would you see
the body is boring. It's pretty boring. It's a cable rib with one center panel flanked by seed stitch. So all the cabling like takes a lot of time. It's like every 4 rows you're cabling a ton, and then every other row you just have cables on the center panel. The body, you're supposed to work 6 repeats of the center cable panel, but my row gauge is off, so I'm going to add I'm on the 7th one right now.
Ooh, yeah.
So I'm going to do 7 and then split for the neck, because it's stretching so much width-wise, I don't want it to shrink up so it's super cropped vest if I'm going through the trouble.
What size needle are you using with the pure alpaca?
What did they call for? A 5.
Okay.
So it's knit tightly.
Yeah, because I'm wearing my Coraline right now, which is knit in the same yarn, and I ended up using 3s and 4s on it because I'm kind of a loose knitter, and I like the fabric it's making because on the label it says like a 7.
A 7.
And
which
it would be
super
really sloppy in that.
So the 5 is nice.
That's
with the
good.
Cables.
Yeah.
And I think it'll keep it from growing too much, and then the cables will help it not...
Yeah, hold its shape.
Yeah. So... I'm pretty sure I'll finish that by the end, because I'm leaving for California tomorrow. We'll have lots of knitting time.
Whoa,
and then
California.
Yeah. She doesn't even know what that means.
No, she doesn't. But she's going to bang her head against my collarbone anyway.
Yeah. Fun that, huh? So I added Herbivore to my my goal.
Okay.
It's a little shawl by Stephen West.
It's then twisted
twisted
stitches?
Twisted stitches. So it's stockinette, and then like a couple... You know, some columns of Twisted Stitches. She's turning the ball winder. Yeah, she likes that.
Yes.
And I'm knitting that M. Malabrigo sock in Persia.
Right.
Mm. I was mad at that yarn, the Remember on Monday.
Oh, right. Oh, that was the ball.
I went to wind it, and it took then an hour and a half because it, like, I pulled the, I don't snip the rings the ties, around. Yeah, the ties. I unpicked the knot and pulled it, and, like, four ends dropped down, and then I found another knot in it. Yeah. So it's, like, five or six little balls of
That's
yarn.
Annoying.
Yeah, and then also with the crossing, the legs crossed, like, the put-up was just horrible.
But so, I don't know what happens with Malabrigo sock, because I don't notice it as, I don't find as many problems in the shop with Malabrigo worsted or their other yarns, but the sock yarn, for some reason, it's, like, maybe it's because it's so slippery, but it just gets, like, wound. We always joke when we get those skeins that those are the ones that were wound by monkeys, you know?
Drunken monkeys.
Yeah. It's just, like...
horrible, but we have had problems on the weekends with the worsted.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Every once in a while, it's a hand process, mm-hmm. so it's sort of like with a Monostel Uruguay. Like, there's every skein is wound differently, and tied up differently, and you just...
But it's gotten to the point on the weekends whenever anybody buys a skein of Malabrigo sock yarn and they want to wind it, it's like... possibly going to take 2 to 3 people in an hour. Oh. So it's not pretty. I don't know what the problem is with the sock yarn. If it's... like more slippery or something, because it's finer.
I think that's what
it
is.
It just gets,
Well, and it's super wash and slippery.
So that was annoying, but
the
shawl is pretty. So
And
I like that. It's from the first batch of Malabrigo sock yarn we had at the store. It's my last skein of Malabrigo sock yarn in my stash.
Wow. So was that you start? You've already started knitting it?
Yeah, I have like 3 inches.
Oh, right, you were
done.
Knitting it the other night, right?
Yeah, last Monday. Yes. That's my knitting.
Cool.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about Madrona?
Yeah, sure. Other than injuring myself badly, I did classes for 3 days. The first day was Fair Isle Yoke Design with Janine Bages. And
I love her. She's a great teacher.
Too. She's my roommate at Madrona for 3 years now. I took her class on Fair Isle Colors last year.
I took it last year.
Yeah, I think we both took it because it was on 2 different days, like...
It
Sunday, and I had it on, like, whatever, Friday or something.
Oh, Saturday.
Something like that. But, and the thing with that class was it was very...
She sees the cat.
There's the cat, You want to get down here, let Mom grab you. It was very, open-ended. It was like we picked an inspiration photo, and then we were working on a colorway based on that photo, and, so you kind of left the class thinking, like, okay, I've made, I've just taken the first step in what's going to be, like, a 6-year-long process. So with this class, she tried to focus it a little bit more where we were just talking about doing a Fair Isle Yoke sweater, which, so she spent a lot of time talking about EPS sweaters and how you knit one, which obviously I've knit several of them, so that part was, not as...
Good job.
There it goes. Not as relevant for me, but still it was... but she has some things where she... Yeah, it's on the floor now because he knocked it down. She has some areas where she differs with Meg and Elizabeth, and so we talked about it. So that was still really good information. And then she had us pick a main body color and then, using a color wheel, decide on whether to do a triad, analogous, or split complementary color combination, and then just pick, like, 6 yarns... to go with.
She's so totally contrary today.
Or 5 yarns to go with that. So it was a little more focused. Like, it was just a smaller task, and that she gave us fewer options, which was good, because I think with the way she was doing the class before, if it was, because she teaches that one also as like a multi-day workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And as a multi-day workshop, I think it's fine, but in a 6-hour class, it was like, there was just so many possibilities and so many options that people were kind of driving themselves insane, I think, trying to. So this way she just sort of made it narrower, like, right off the bat, which was a good approach for it. Yeah, for me. Thank you. Oh, no, there it goes again. Then Friday, actually, I think Friday was the class that did my hand in. It was a great class. It was with Jill Lasky, and I'd taken a fiber... She's the owner of Ashland Bay, so a lot of the... If you go and buy spinning fiber, a lot of the fiber comes from Ashland Bay that you find in stores. And, I took a fiber blending class from her a few years ago where we talked about some color theory. I've spent a lot of time on color theory and also blending different fibers. This class was called Nature's Palette, where we were using nature photos as inspiration. And the idea with the class was that we took we got photos, and then we had to using using like primaries and black, white, gray, hello, and hand cards. We had to blend colors to match what was in our photo. And it was really challenging. I mean, it was challenging at first because.
What are you doing?
But it was really, it was a good confidence builder for me because I always feel like I'm kind of a color dummy, and so, to, you know, just sit and go, okay, I need to just start blending things and start adding color until you really, you know, get the color that you wanted. For the most interesting part though was trying to make brown. Because I feel like as someone, when you're blending colors, you're always trying not to make brown. Like, oh no, if I blend the pink and the green, I'll get brown. So now when you want to make brown, it's like,
brown.
How do you start making brown? Like, how do you choose which colors to opposite color wheel to mix? And anyway, but it was a really good class, but it was 6 hours of blending on hand cards, which I think was too much for my poor thumb. And then on Saturday, I did spinning down breeds with Judith McKenzie, and the down in that refers to the downs of England. So it's breeds like Clun Forest, Dorset, Hampshire, Suffolk, I think Shropshire is another one. And so there's a whole group of breeds, and I'd never spun with any of them before, so that was really interesting. And, you know, class with Judith is always fantastic and interesting and a good learning experience, so that was great. And then on Sunday, by then my hand was hurting so much I couldn't even knit. I sort of sat around and looked at my friends, and then we had to do the loadout for the shop that day, and I was just like, my poor little hand was so sore. I was kind of going, can you help? I couldn't carry anything, but one of these weird little like 6 degrees of yes, 6 degrees of separation thing that Adrian, who works at the shop, said, oh, my friend's roommate from Colorado is going to be at Madrona, and she needs a ride back on Sunday, so we need to make room for her in my car. And I said, okay, great. And I kind of joked and was like, good, she can help with loadout. And it turns out that she did. But when I was in the hall, I saw Janine Bages, my roommate, talking to Anne Merrow, who's an editor at Interweave, and who I know from meeting her several times at TNNA. So I went over to say hi to Anne. And as I was standing there waiting, well, they were still talking, Adrian walked up, and I thought Adrian was coming to talk to me.
Oh.
And then it turns out, no, Anne Merrow was the roommate from Colorado that she was talking about. So she was like, how do you know Anne? I was like, how do you know Anne? And then we were like, Anne, how do you know Janine? And it was just like this weird little like whatever. Anyway, so Anne is apparently the center of the fiber world. She knows everybody. So that was funny. But yeah, cool. So it was a great Madrona. I only didn't buy much. I finally bought something from Toots LeBlanc. I feel so, like, or Toots LeBlanc. I've been such a fan of Michelle's yarn for so long that, but I just couldn't, like, decide what I was going to do. And I've had her Celtic bunny hat pattern since my first Madrona. I bought it, I think. Maybe I bought it my first black sheep. But I kept thinking I was going to spin the yarn for it, and then I never did. So I finally bought a skein of her Angora blend to make that, which I think is great. And actually, then it turned out, I think that Rebecca from Pearly Girls
and Megan,
a couple of other people all got that pattern too.
And I'm going to get the pattern and the yarn, and I think we're going to do a knit along.
Oh, okay.
So maybe we'll wait for your hand to heal so you can knit along with us.
So I got that, and then she also had some spinning fiber. She used to do a lot more spinning fiber, and then she sort of got away from that and is doing yarn now, but she had some fiber that ended up being too long for the mill to spin because it was a blend of Surrey Alpaca, Blue Face Leicester, and Angora. And it was a natural brown alpaca, and then the BFL was white, and the Angora was white. So it was just this really pretty blend, really soft, and she was selling it for a song just because it... so I got 6 ounces of that.
Look at her hair.
Yeah, that's some pretty crazy hair, sweetie. But now, of course, I can't spin it anytime soon, but I'm looking forward to being able to spin that. And then I bought a skein from Wolf Creek.
I looked at their stuff. It's really pretty.
Yeah, well, I bought a skein of their Merino Tencel at Sock Summit, and that was one of the yarns I used in my Almas shawl.
Right.
So I bought a skein of lace. That's sort of a bluey green.
Yeah.
And so I bought a bluey green lace from her. She does all these really beautiful blues and greens, and she hangs them in beautiful like color groups, and they're just sort of semi-solid.
That's what attracted me to her.
I know, and they're kind of mellow color. I really like. They just are my favorite colors. I really I love her boots. So
but yeah, she did have lots of blue and green.
Yeah,
like, look at Jessica.
And hardly any orange.
Yeah,
that was great. And then I got that. Oops. And then, is that everything? That might be everything I got. I keep thinking I got one other yarn, but I don't think I did. I think that was everything I got. I was pretty conservative in the buying.
I went down on Friday.
I'm sorry. I did get one other thing. I got a skein of like weaving yarn, sort of a semi-scratchy Jacob wool that was naturally dyed. So it was dyed with Osage orange and then overdyed with indigo. So it's this like really, really bright yellow green.
Acid
green, and I want to weave it. And my friend Denise and I decided that she lives down in Olympia, but she's got a four harness loom that she has never warped before, and I've never warped my loom. I mean, I've warped looms like it, but so we thought we would get together and sort of be a support group and warp our looms together at some point. So I thought I could use that then to do like a little scarf, just something simple. Actually, yeah, it's kind of similar to the color I'm wearing right now. Yes, those are my buttons.
Yeah,
so
I went down on Friday with Audrey, and I got some Habu that we don't have at the shop, and I got a skein of goth socks.
They were like sold out by Saturday. They had like five skeins left in their booth.
The colorway I got is Business Time. It's like black. So she's an Etsy seller, and she had a little tiny booth with sock yarn. And she had, like, blue purple hair, which is, like, the color my hair used to be. And I was like, jealous! She was really nice. So I went in her yarn. She dyes it so it self-stripes when you knit it. And her main thing is, like, black with another color.
Yeah.
So the color I got is black with, like, a bluish-grayish lavender stripe. Mm-hmm. It's really pretty, so... It's so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like, you know, she kind of missed an opportunity by not having enough inventory. Because literally on Sunday, some of the little cubby holes, I mean, most of them were empty. And some only had like a single skein of yarn left.
Yeah, I think it was her first show she'd ever done. So she probably
actually, has something. She shared a booth with someone last year at Madrona.
Okay.
Because she split a booth with someone else, I think.
Okay.
But, yeah, I think she needs to bring a lot more yarn next year because she lost a chance to make a lot of sales, I think.
But Ariel was telling me that she always sells out on her shop.
Yeah.
Whenever she posts stuff. So I got that, and then the Habu I got was some burnt orange, that stainless steel that I'm going to hold together with, I think, some silky wool and knit a lace thing.
Cool.
So that'll be interesting. Okay. Big needles. And then I got, what else did I got? The lace weight cotton boucle non-twist. One skein of that. It's like 550 yards. I can do a lace, scarf, multi-season scarfy thing, I think. So, and then like a blue color. Yeah. That's all I bought. I didn't buy that much. And I went out to lunch, and then I ran into you.
Yeah, I know. We ran
into Stitches. Yeah, and then I'm going to Stitches, so that's what I'm saving myself
for. Yeah.
So. You watch anything good lately?
We've been watching a lot of Olympics, which is so funny. Like, my husband is not into sports at all. I am not into sports at all, but he freaking loves the Olympics. He's really, like, he loves watching the opening ceremony and the closing ceremony. He just loves the Olympics. I don't know where that comes from. And the boys are really excited about the Olympics, I think in part because we had this sort of, as a family, have had this love affair with the Olympic mascots.
Mm-hmm.
We, because when we went to Alaska last summer, we bought, they just released the mascots, so we got a Quachi doll for my younger son. And then older son was jealous, and then we went to Vancouver, and we got him like a Miga doll, and then we got a Muk Muk, and then we had to go to Victoria and get Sumi, so we got them all, and we also bought a book for my friend Heather for her daughters, that, you know, sort of an introduction to the mascots, but it also takes you through all of the winter, all the winter Olympic and Paralympic events, and. My younger son fell in love with the book so much he didn't want to give it to the girls, so I let him keep it. But so he's been like studying this book that covers all the Winter Olympic events.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also have, they got for, actually from my friend Heather, they got, the Mario and Sonic at the Winter Olympics video game for Christmas. So they're really interested in, like, they're saying, I walked in the room one day and they're like, we're watching the Nordic combined. And I didn't even know what that was. Okay. So there's been a lot of Olympic watching at our house. But I did watch a few things. I just finished season four or five of Weeds, which is still really good. Getting, like, crazier, though. And crazier.
Are her outfits getting trashier and trashier?
No.
Has it hit, like, pregnant, some kind of, you know, right.
You know, so she's pretty trashy for pregnant, but, you know, not that bad.
Like, I don't
even see it anymore. I don't even notice. It's just, and there's a lot, I don't know. But anyway, so I still like the show a lot, but it's getting really crazy. And I watched, on Watch Instant, I watched The Last Emperor, which is a documentary on Valentino.
I watched that too.
Did you?
Yeah.
I really liked it so much.
I liked it too.
I thought it was interesting in that it, at first it seemed like it was going to sort of show him as sort of this, like, crazy over the top character, like the five pugs running around time. But there was so much interesting stuff, like the fact that his design house, they hand stitch everything.
Yeah.
That they, every single stitch on every single gown is done by hand. Yeah. It's amazing. Like 100 Italian seamstresses. Screaming at each other and running around and
in Italian.
Excellent. But what the movie in the end for me was about was more, I mean, because his career sort of started when he entered into this relationship. Now I can't remember his lover's name.
Giametti.
But so then when they met like 45 years ago, that he really helped. He sort of took over the business side because Valentino's like, can't do the business.
Because
he's the artist.
His first business went under.
Right.
He went bankrupt because he couldn't run the business.
Right.
Side of
it. So he has this partner, you know, who's also his partner in life and his partner in business, who sort of helped him navigate this whole world. So in the end, sad baby. In the end, I felt like it was more a story of their relationship together than you can't separate their relationship together and the story of the design house, which was, I thought it was a really interesting story.
I really liked seeing his older designs, like all that pink stuff that they did in the very end.
Yeah.
He had the big pink coat with the lace dress. And I'm not a pink person, but that was beautiful.
Yeah, there's all sorts of, all sorts of beautiful clothes and...
Are you choking?
Are you all right? Yeah, we're all right. Goodness. No mom doesn't want the pacifier. No, thank you,
sweetheart.
You can have the pacifier
back.
Thank
you for sharing.
No, I don't want it either. Thank you. What else did I watch? I've been watching other...
What is wrong with you people?
I just finished watching a Norwegian film last night called O Horton, which is... It's directed by Bent Hammer, who did Kitchen Stories, which I liked very much. But it's kind of this quirky Norwegian film about a train conductor who's retiring. And I just didn't... I mean, I could see what they were doing, but I didn't really connect with it much. It was just... It was kind of funny, too, because I started watching it. I tried to watch The Class on Watch Instant, which is a French film, and 30 seconds into it, I realized they had dubbed it, really badly, so I turned it off. So then I turned on O Horton to see if they had, you know, I was like, I hope they didn't dub this one, too. And it was at least, like, 5 or 6 minutes before anyone spoke. And Wes is going, like, do you have that muted? What's going on? You know, why isn't anyone... I'm like, oh, it's Norwegian. Nobody talks, you know? but really, there's, like... maybe 100 lines of dialogue in this whole movie. No one talks in this movie. It's very silent and more. Anyway, so, but it was an interesting film, but not my favorite. Well, I don't know if I've watched much else. We've just been doing, that's me. What have you been watching?
Season 2.5 of Battlestar, which is awesome.
Okay.
Watch The Last Picture Show.
Oh, you've never seen that?
No. So it was great. It's a great, great movie. It's got a young Jeff Bridges, the dude, for those of you who are coming from the fans. He's very, very young.
And a very, very young Civil Shepherd.
Yes. Super young. I found it kind of shocking, taking into account the time when it was filmed.
It's very shocking.
Yeah, there's like naked people in it, and like co-ed nakedness,
and inappropriate
relationships
and all sorts of it's very scandalous. I mean,
premarital sex.
Yeah,
I mean, it's gosh, quite scandalous. Yeah. But the whole soundtrack is basically Merle Haggard. So awesome. I was like singing along.
Yeah, it's a great, and it's a great looking film. It's shot in black and white and just gorgeous. It's
fantastic. That's on Watch Instantly.
Oh, so, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And I watched Antonia's Line.
I've never seen that
It's good. Oh, I really liked it.
Oh, wait. No, no, no. I take that back. I have seen that. That's the one where it's like the...
The mother and the daughter go to... After World War II.
It's Dutch, back right?
To, yeah. Yeah. Back to her village.
Right. Yes, and then,
yeah.
And sort of the family history kind of thing.
Yeah, her friends and stuff that she kind of gathers around her. It's got some good knitwear in it. There's some wimples. Oh. Yeah. Some feather and fan shawls.
I watched Return to Cranford, actually, and there's everyone's always wearing, like, little, like, kind of natural-colored, knitted, like, garter-stitched little shoulder shawls. Like, everyone is wearing one in every daytime scene, and then... And there's a lot of little knitted hand warmers, too.
Don't poke mommy in the eye.
No, that's you shouldn't poke mommy in the eye. Like,
as you say that, I'm going to do it.
I'm
going to
poke you some more. Wait, poke you here? Shit.
Oh. Bit your finger. Are you going to cry?
Oh, don't cry. Uh-oh.
She's tired.
She's tired. Oh, you were mean, mommy. Oh. Oh, sorry.
We torture children at this time.
Oh, someone's very sleepy. Yes. So, here, what else do you have on your list? Oh, and Velveteen,
that's it.
Right?
Yeah. That's the good stuff I watch. I watch a ton of crap.
Yeah.
Just like when I'm at home, like at night after I put Audrey to bed, I'm like, mindless TV. 28 days later, just watch that again.
I don't do zombies.
Kill him.
Yeah, I know.
Love him.
I know. Are you going to go see The Crazies when it comes out?
Oh, yeah. In the original one, there's death by knitting needle.
Oh, right.
I hope they keep that in.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. So, yeah, that's it.
That's cool. And you're still reading your...
America's Blue Highways by William Lee Teitman. I just finished the... He has it in sections. So there's areas of the U.S. that he's traveling through. So I just finished South by Southwest, and I'm West by Southwest. So he just, I just finished the chapter where he went to the Hopi Reservation in Arizona.
So, that's neat.
And I like his descriptions of food. Because he, part of the thing is like, he always looks for cafes that have four calendars. Because that means they're like down home cooking, like regional specialties. The fewer the calendars, the less good it is. Yeah.
And I've just started reading The Knitter's Book of Wool, which I have to admit, like, I'm really bad with this with knitting books. Like, they come out and I kind of flip through them and I look at the patterns and I don't ever really sit down and read them. So the whole, like, first half of the book is about wool and going through all the different breeds. So I finally just started reading it, and because I didn't know the history on a lot of the breeds, you know, this, how they were derived or how long they've been around, and so she's got a lot of great information on that, which is fun. So at least I can read about wool, even though I can't knit. Woohoo! So that's it for me.
Yeah, me too.
So you're headed down
tomorrow. Yay!
Stitches.
Going to Stitches on Friday.
Alrighty.
With my crew, and Nicole from Stash and Burn has been nice enough to put me and my crew up for the night.
Oh, really?
So we don't have to drive from Santa Clara back to Ukiah, which is about
hopefully she won't have had the baby by then.
Yeah, she's like, we'll maybe come up with a contingency plan.
All right. You got to keep that baby in.
So I'm excited to hang out with Jenny and Nicole for
That's
a while.
That's awesome.
We might record with them.
I was going to say, you should record something.
Yeah, we might record with them. So, and... It's my sister and my friend's first time at any type of knitting convention type thing.
So they're going to have their minds blown.
Oh my gosh.
Blown!
Welcome to the dark side. Yes.
Kaploom! Yeah,
I know. They're just going to walk in and like faint. Dead away or something. I don't know.
You're like, this, that, the other thing,
Walk
2 hours
out,
and they're
like,
still going to be going,
We'll leave and they'll be like drooling and catatonic. Excellent. Yeah.
It's going to be exciting. Audrey looks like she's going to be excited about that.
Yeah.
She's not going. Is she going to stay with
Noah. Oh. In Ukiah.
Okay.
His mom is driving over from Placerville to spend a couple nights with us.
Cool. So. That'll be fun.
Lots
not
of
that it's not fun spending time with you, Audrey, but, you know, sometimes a knitter needs a little alone time with her yarn.
Yeah. Another knitters.
Another knitters. That's
good
right.
Good for me. So.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Well, great.
Yeah. And well, as always, there's the group on Ravelry.
Yes.
Double Knit Podcast Fans.
And something like that.
Yeah.
And
then...
And show notes at doubleknit.net.
And we'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.